Good day and welcome to Minnesota Masonic Histories and Mysteries, where we will explore the origins of all things Masonic in our great state and perhaps uncover a few mysteries of our ancient craft along the way. Well, here we are. We are back with Mark Anderson. And Mark, what would you say you do for the Heritage Center? Oh, let's see. We have a business card. It says Library and Museum Coordinator. So what does that mean?
What does that mean? I wonder myself sometimes.
I'm sure you do.
Because it's kind of a catch-all. I'm, as I jokingly say, the token Mason on the staff. So I know the history of a lot of the stuff, if not all of it, in our museum and library. I work as a docent to give tours.
Okay.
I'm also, as librarian, documenting what we have in our stash of books and papers and magazines and CDs and DVDs and anything that we find in the library.
And how long have you been doing this?
I started in June of 2016.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about your background in masonry. What was it that drew you to masonry originally?
Well, that's easy. My dad.
Okay, that's typically that's a common answer.
Backing up though, I am a senior de Mille as well, and it's kind of an unspoken and you'll join the lodge eventually. And dad slid me this petition at one point.
Okay,
so whenever you think about it, so okay, I'll put it away. And when I gave it to him, I caught him unawares. It was great. The look on his face was awesome. He was surprised.
And how long?
When?
Yeah, how old were you?
18.
Oh, so right away.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was raised in 81, so I've just passed 41 years.
Oh, my stars. And
almost as old as you.
Almost. Just you're creeping up on me. What lodge were you raised in?
My home lodge was called Ruff Ashler Lodge, number 177 in Belle Plaine, Minnesota.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And at some point, when I moved to the cities, I connected up with Richfield Lodge 334, which merged into Cataract Lodge number 2, along with Century Lodge.
And didn't Bloomington merge into that lodge
as
well?
They went into Minnehaha.
Oh, they went to Minnehaha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Funny, but we all meet in the same building.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
So, been active at Richfield / Cataract for quite some time now, and it's a great bunch of guys. I'm so glad to be a Mason and have these brothers as friends.
It is a remarkable group of people.
Oh, yeah.
One of the questions that I always like to ask people, you know, related to the museum, is if the place was about to burn down, what would be the one book you would grab, or what would be the volume that you would want to protect the most?
No relation, but Anderson's Constitutions of 1723.
Okay.
We have an original.
But we don't own it? Is that owned by the Scottish Rite of Minneapolis?
Provenance is unclear.
Okay. So we have an original. So what does that mean exactly?
Well, Anderson's Constitutions laid out the form of what we know as Grand Lodge and Lodge system today.
Okay.
Back in 1723 in England. So everything's kind of worked from that document. Every jurisdiction has its own little twist on things. But
who was Anderson?
Reverend James Anderson. He was a Presbyterian minister, Scottish. And at that time, anymore, I guess, people have several jobs, one of which was he was assisting with writing these constitutions for, the name escapes me, I'm sorry.
So, but to say we have an original, what does that mean exactly?
There are a few of the, last I heard, 17 approximately or fewer that exist.
Really?
Today.
So that is pretty rare.
It is very rare.
Wow.
There's another book that kind of right up there. It's The Sufferings of John Custos, which is 1746, which is probably that'll be my next grab.
Okay.
It's talking
we got about, two hands. We'll let you grab two.
It's talking about a man who was imprisoned in Portugal by the Inquisition. And his experiences he's written about. It was pretty brutal.
So now let's move across from the library into the museum. An artifact or two that you would grab if the tornado was coming.
We only have a fraction of a percent out.
Oh, really?
On display.
Okay.
And we've got over 30,000 items in the museum.
Oh, my God. So where do we keep it all?
In a safe place.
Okay.
As with the library that you'd see if you came in, that's not even half of it.
Okay.
So that's locked away in a safe place. I guess I can't really answer that one. I don't have an answer. I'm sorry, John.
That's just fine. That's just fine. Do lodges visit the Heritage Center? Are there field trips that they plan?
Yes, there are.
Tell us about what would be a perfect lodge outing.
Well, there was one recently, in fact, that was coeducational, so to speak. Some brothers from a lodge with their significant others came along to see the place. Many of the boys had seen it, although there were some prospects, and there was a new entered apprentice.
Okay.
And they brought their spouses, in this case, or girlfriends, and just wanted to learn, see a little bit more about what is what and some of the history, how it is related to us in Minnesota specifically.
Okay.
So they called ahead, and then they went on to another thing, a birthday party afterwards. I think the farthest group came up from Nebraska. It was a group of rainbow girls who wanted to come on a field trip, and they came and saw our place. They'd heard a lot about it. And, of course, the ultimate destination, was down the road about 6-7 miles. Guess what? Mall of America.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I wonder which was higher on their list of priorities.
Yeah. But we had a good time. They learned a lot. Actually, it was kind of surprising that some of the advisors, the adults, had said, these girls don't really know what Masons are. Can you talk to them about that? Tell them why we meet in these buildings and so forth. And we got some eyes opened. So,
do you ever get visitors that have no Masonic connection?
Mm-hmm. All kinds of them.
Through? Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's when we have matinees in the Ives Auditorium.
Sure.
A plug for that. Thank
you. Tell us about the Ives Auditorium.
Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
When we have troops or groups come through, oftentimes they're from the far reaches of the state, and many of them don't have a clue what Masons are. They just know that there's this place we can go see, have a lunch, see a play, ride home on the bus, and take a nap. And they admit that. And they like it.
Sounds like a perfect day.
They like it, and I don't blame them. I've seen that symbol, but what's that mean? I get all kinds of questions like that. And so we... Now, what do you want to know? I'll tell you everything, except for a couple things that happen to identify a Mason in the dark or in the light, the biggest question is, what's that G stand for?
Mm-hmm.
And so forth.
And what's your answer to that?
Well, it could be a couple things.
Okay.
Specifically, because we'll give you a little lesson backwards here, folks. You know, Masonry is about building King Solomon's Temple. So it's a historical setting that we use for a play that we teach lessons in, three different sections of a play.
Mm-hmm.
And we are all working about building, and builders use math. And what type of section of math starts with a G?
Geometry.
Yes.
Okay,
and
geometry.
And then a light goes on. Oh, I get it. And because a Mason has to be a man of faith... We don't say what. We won't ever talk about that in Lodge. It stands for the initial letter of deity.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I get it. It's been great. I mean, I've helped teach a lot of people. My background originally was as a teacher, and it's nice to be able to teach still.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
the Ives.
The Ives Auditorium is named for our father of the Masonic home, yep. Gideon Sprague Ives. It's a 443-seat auditorium. We have musicals, dance recitals, ballets, board meetings, concerts. Bloomington Symphony Orchestra calls us our home now.
Oh, nice.
And so forth. It's a very good general purpose space that's not huge. It's a nice size. It's called the Jewel Box Theater because it's ornate and small.
We have one other special space within the Heritage Center, the Ames Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the Ames Lodge and what's special about that.
Well, what do you know about Alfred Elijah Ames, John?
Well, he was the first Grand Master of the state of Minnesota. He was
That's right.
He was a pioneer of he was a medical doctor, mm-hmm. as I understand it.
Yep.
If you were to come to the Heritage Center, there's a little presentation touch screen, and he gives you a little background on himself. But he has a beard and no mustache in the painting that we have.
Yes.
And that's about the extent of my understanding of Alfred Elijah Ames.
Well, I tell people, honestly, is that we have an artist's rendition of what Dr. Ames looked like in the room there, and I think it looks better than his actual photograph.
Okay. Well, sometimes that works to your benefit.
And you look at him and, yeah.
He made Abe Lincoln look like an 8 or a 9?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway. It's a nice space. It's unique to Minnesota. Any Masonic group in the state can use it once a year at no charge. If you want to come back, you can.
How many lodges will use it in a year?
Of late, it's hard to give you a number just because of our
situation.
Role was closed for so long. But, you know, it wasn't surprising to have somebody once a month.
Okay.
It could be a lodge. Could be a star chapter. We've had Job's Daughters in there. We've had Daughters of the Nile from the Shrine. Masonic Order of Athelstan, so on and so on. Red Cross of Constantine, all kinds of bodies meet there.
So did you say the Masonic Order of Athelstan?
Not Athelstan.
Oh, okay.
Athelstan.
Okay.
The first king of all England.
Well, listen to that. You are just a font of...
See, that's why I sit where I do, because I got all this weird trivia that I know. And I can teach people about it.
Some would consider it weird. Some would consider it really weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Nerdery at its best. Yeah. And then I can help as someone else was asking me to do so. And I can help pass this information on to the volunteers that come to work.
So volunteers, how can volunteers participate?
Couple ways. When we had more activity in the Ives Auditorium, we had need for ushers.
Okay.
So we will again. So I've got a
God willing.
Yeah. I've got a cadre of ushers that we can call upon. I also have folks that come into the museum and library that will sit at the museum desk as a welcome or greeter the times when I'm not there. So Sundays, for example, or when I'm at Grand Lodge. They have varying levels of knowledge. Some are Masons, some are not Masons. And typically, they say, I don't know the answer. They'll give them my phone number.
Okay. So one final question. This is a personal question regarding your Masonic journey.
Mm.
Who would you put on your personal Mount Rushmore of Masons that have influenced your journey in one way or another?
People that I have actually known?
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting... No one's ever gone that way, but answer the question as you would like to answer it.
I would love to have met and gotten to know past Grand Master of Missouri, Harry Truman.
Interesting. Why?
He was salt of the earth, and he got thrown into a job that he didn't necessarily want as president at the time he did, but he handled it with grace and honor as mm-hmm. a Mason.
Yep.
You know,
isn't there some legend of him going to a lodge meeting with Secret Service?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Fill me in on that little story.
There you go. He was out on campaign trail, and everything was done by train.
Mm-hmm.
Remember back then? I don't recall if it was Illinois or Indiana. Central U.S.
Okay.
He was going through doing his schmoozing, as politicians do. He found out that one of the sailors that was on the presidential yacht was going into the lodge. And
who knew there was a presidential yacht? I didn't even know that was a thing.
That's gone.
Okay.
Yeah. And he arranged to be there for his degrees.
Wow.
Right. I don't recall. I think it was his Master Mason's. He was there for a degree. Now I got to look it up. Thank you very much. And, of course, the Secret Service said, you can't go. I'm pulling rank on you, boys. You stay out there. I'm safer inside here than I would be with
you. Wow.
Yeah, I love it.
That's a great story.
I know. It's just awesome. And, you know, he could pull that off.
Incidentally, as we're sitting here at Grand Lodge, you will occasionally hear this really, there it is right there, that cackle.
That's a cackle.
That cackle
for sure.
Belongs to our director of communications,
Lauren
Howder.
She's wondering why we're staring at her.
We've been listening to your cackle in the background. It's quite significant, and we can't edit that out, so thank you very much.
It adds some color. Thank you.
Anyways, well, Mark, thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
If people want to connect with you, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, you could try through a couple different means. Masonic Heritage Center website, masonicheritagecenter.org. My email is mark.anderson, S-O-N, at mnmasonic.org. My telephone is 952-948-6503. I will keep my shoe size to myself.
Very good. And those are exactly the details that are presented on his card, the business card he handed me. So just to confirm, I've audited the information, and it is spot on.
Or you can call John, and he'll walk down the hall and find
me. That's right. I'll show you where to go.
Yeah.
All right. And how to get there.
Thank you.
Thanks, and off we go.